72 of Role, Play, Grow, the podcast for tabletop entrepreneurs, creators, and fans. I am Courtney Stover of Lighthearted Adventures, and in this podcast, we talk to the creators behind the brands and the tabletop role-play gaming space about who they are and how they are turning their passion for gaming into a career. How many of you have thought about starting a friendly local gaming store? Well, I have a special treat for those of you who answered yes, because I got to chat with Andrew Youngchild, the co-founder of Lost Star Tabletop Gaming Outfitter in Gig Harbor, Washington. He and his sister Charlie opened up this very cool store in the heart of Gig Harbor's shopping district a year into COVID. We dig into how the store came to be, how things have changed over the years, and Andrew's hopes for the future. Andrew really dives into a lot of the decisions they had to make and the challenges that they've faced over the last couple of years, and I really appreciated this genuine look at opening and running a gaming store. Before we dive in, I'd like to welcome anyone who's new to the show. This podcast is a part of Lightheart Adventures, which is a small company I co-founded with my husband. We also do blogs, one-shots, and maps that you'll find over on our website, lightheartadventures.com. This show seriously allows me to chat with some really cool people about business, marketing, hardships across a wide spectrum of industries within the TTRPG scene. If that sounds interesting to you, then be sure to subscribe to Roleplay Grow on your favorite podcast player. Lastly, I want to shout out my favorite tea business, Friday Afternoon Tea. This is an amazing nerdy business that makes the best tea in Seattle. The shop is owned by a wonderful human that I interviewed back in episode 6. You can snag tea, gift cards, join a monthly book club that has tea pairings, or if you're in the Seattle area, they also offer custom blending sessions. We are affiliates with them, so if you go to fridaytea.com and use the code LIGHTHEART, A-D-V, you'll get 10% off your order, help a wonderful business, and also enjoy some delicious nerdy tea. That is all for now, so please enjoy this chat with Andrew. Hello, friends. Today, I am joined by Andrew, the co-founder of Lost Star Tabletop Gaming. What's up, Andrew?
Hi, everyone. Nothing much. Having a great day.
Yeah, you know, as good as a Tuesday can be.
Yeah. Beautiful weather outside today.
Yeah, actually, that is sunshine. There's sun. Like, I'm not there's too far sun. From you. I'm in Seattle, so.
Yep. We've had some interesting weather lately, and this is a nice change up.
Yeah, I'm definitely not from up here. I am originally from the South, and it's April. I would like it to be warm now. Thank you.
Yeah, this is pretty normal. Weather doesn't know what it wants to do, so
yes. Enjoy. Yes, I'm learning. Well, to start things off, can you tell us a bit about, you know, who you are, where you're from, and how you got into gaming?
So my name's Andrew. I am a local. I've been living in Gig Harbor my entire life. How I got into gaming is really just spending time around the dinner table, really, with family ever since I was young. And we weren't big gamers, but, you know, on the family occasions and whatnot, we'd bring out board games and card games and play. And that could be with grandparents or aunts, uncles, things like that, your parents. And, you know, that was a part of that experience, being together. And it was a great pastime. It was a healthy way to spend time with each other.
Yeah, that sounds like it. What about like TTRPGs?
RPGs, I got into those when I was in middle school. I was introduced to Advanced D&D and started with that. So just like anybody else, got brought in, created a character, and kind of went down that amazing rabbit hole of pretty much anything goes, right? Your imagination. And so, yeah, that's how I got started into that. And then I fell in love with it even more. And I think we've seen the gaming industry really like grasp onto that, especially with computer and console games. And so, you know, you get to enjoy that RPG experience really across the board. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What do you play these days?
So right now I'm playing Star Wars Legion and getting into a lot more hobby crafting. I like putting models together. When I was a kid, I put together jet planes and muscle cars and things like that. And really didn't take it anywhere. Just something that I did, and then stopped doing that hobby craft. And then once we've opened the store, I got back into it and really enjoy just gaming with those hobby pieces. So it's really fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, let's, I guess, pivot a bit to the store. So for the sake of our listeners, can you just give a brief overview of like what Lost Star is, like what kinds of things you have in stock, and then we'll kind of move on.
Sure. So Lost Star is a game and hobby store. We kind of featured around like what we call four pillars of gaming. And that's your RPGs, your TCGs, your wargaming, and your board gaming. And so those are our primary game slots that we sell, along with kind of accessories to those games and just kind of fun things like apparel and other items that you can outwardly express your love for gaming. So it could be like patches and pins and jewelry and things like that. So kind of just really allow people to jump into that world and express themselves.
Yeah, I know. I discovered it just when I was being a tourist in Gig Harbor a while back. And it was this, I didn't really expect it to find your store.
You wouldn't in Gig Harbor for sure.
But yeah, like my husband and I were just walking down the street. And we're like, wait, is that, I see the word tabletop, like, hold up. And then just like this really cool entryway with like the gate and the stairs. And like, it felt like we just found this little treasure.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. You know, that really puts a smile on my face because there's those places that we look for as gamers. And that's really the dream, is to have that place for others like us to find that diamond, that gem unexpectedly and really find enjoyment in it. So
yeah, definitely. I would love to hear the story about how you and your sister like came up with the idea for this store and just how it came to be.
Sure. So I'll just kind of give you a semi-brief kind of story, I guess. And that is, much like many dreams that you have, you kind of start by jotting it down, right? So that was something that I had started working on a business plan on and just had it on my laptop. And over the course of a few years, had gone back to it, revised it, looked at it, seen how serious it was. At the time, I was probably about 15 years into a career with Parks and Recreation. And I'm happy. I fulfill a large part of myself in public service doing that job. And I find a lot of fulfillment out of it. And so I had gotten to a place in my career where, you know, it's time to change something up. Because I had been with that same company at the point for about 17, 18 years. And I started to really dive into that business plan a lot more, seeing how feasible it really was. And as I dove into it, it started leading into a few different things going on. It wasn't my sole like dream that I was looking at. I was looking at many options, many doors. And I think just the culmination of the opportunities that took place over the coming months, and that included COVID, and that included getting laid off for my career, and that included just the time that I could really consider the potential of what that business plan or that dream was. And that dream, to kind of rewind a little bit, stemmed from when I was younger. And spending time working, doing small jobs, mowing lawns, things like that, to earn some extra cash to walk down to a local shop in Tacoma. I had family that lived in Tacoma. I'd walk down there. It wasn't necessarily a game shop. I think you'll see a lot, at least in the Pacific Northwest, you'll see a lot of sports card shops that have some science fiction, fantasy type of items in there. And so they had some Star Wars items, they had some comic books, things like that. And I would go down there and spend my money in there. And I just found so much enjoyment out of that. And it was such a big influence to me and what I enjoy, that I knew I could bring something like that to life, and I could live that enjoyment that I felt when I was younger and give that to other people. So fast forward, I saw that after doing some market research in the area, that it was actually a real potential. Like, it wasn't just a dream, because you can put anything on paper, but like, sometimes you have to make sure it makes fiscal sense and that you're not just going to be kind of like spinning your wheels or wasting your time, so to speak. So everything panned out, everything made sense. And then I was able to actually jump forward with that. Luckily, with everything going on, I was able to self-finance that startup, which not a lot of people have that option to do. But it was through the hard work and dedication that I had given to my career that I had been able to pull that large lump sum of money to get that startup going. Probably the minimal amount of money that you'd ever want to do a startup with, but it worked. It worked. And we've been able to grow. So it's been fantastic.
Oh, that's really great to hear. So when exactly was it that you opened the store?
So we registered the business in October of 2020 and opened the store on May 4th, the following year.
Okay.
And it wasn't planned out that way, but the Star Wars, May the 4th be with you, just it just jumped in. And so many things about this business played out that way. There were so many things that naturally fell into place that every step of the way told us yes. There wasn't a time where, besides that initial scary jump of jumping out of security of your job, your income, and some other securities, like that exhilarating experience about starting something up and actually moving on something that's out of your comfort zone. But things just felt right the whole time. And so May the 4th was the first open day. We opened to family for a few days so they could come and experience that store. And then we opened to the public just a few days after that.
That is a really great opening day. So what happened between the registering the LLC and that opening day? Like, I love to dig into all like the processes, the business stuff. So,
yeah, sure. So, I had never opened a business before. Definitely a green when it came to getting all this going. I didn't have a family business experience prior to that. I didn't have parents that owned businesses like that or extended family. So it was really about just navigating the state websites, figuring out what I needed to do. I mean, that's kind of a part of the process of learning, right? So getting out there. You know, we have so many resources at our fingertips now that you can find out what you need to find out when you need to find it out. So I jumped around, navigated the state websites, learned what I needed to do, what I needed to file with the different agencies. And then it was off to looking for places to rent.
How long did it take you to find the spot that you wound up in?
It took approximately 4 months. And I think that it might take longer now, but we're still kind of in a state of economic recovery. So you'll still see plenty of places pop up, but 4 months kind of seemed like a long time, but it wasn't actually that bad. Mm-hmm. We had gone around and looked at a few places, considered a few, did some walkthroughs. We had a real estate agent that was able to kind of work with us to get in contact with available spaces. So we could really get in there and envision the potential.
Yeah. What was it about the spot that you chose that made you want to get that one?
Yeah. So there's so many things to consider. So we had no brand or name recognition to start. And so we looked at a few places that were more destination spots. And we knew that though you can start the business, that it wouldn't survive. So location is everything. Don't be fooled. And with the spot that's in downtown Gig Harbor, it was a familiar space to us because we had grown up here, but we also knew the potential that it gave, especially with such an uptick in individuals moving to the area, that it gave us the best chance for success, even though the space wasn't exactly the traditional game shop size. We're playing with around 800 square feet, and that's not an easy task to do, but I think we make the most of it. So,
yeah, I remember being impressed by like how much product you were able to fit into that space. But also still having, because the day that I went there was actually, I think you're having like a magic event. And so there were like tables everywhere, but it was still like able to get around and look at all the cool stuff.
That's where Charlie really came in. I might be the brainchild behind the shop itself, but to actually make it logistically possible was definitely her forte and where I looked to her professional experience to really make happen.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I'm curious on like how you decided what products to stock and if that has like changed over time since you opened.
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, that is what the products you're looking at and everything. That's a complete reflection of myself. Those are the things that I loved and still love and know that others love. I think that there was a part of me. I'm going to jump back to the sports cards. I guess like that's my vision of what a game shop is what I'm presenting. And you get to see a piece of that. You get to see a piece of me, you get to see a piece of Charlie in that store. And that's how it's comprised. Not that I was a big sports player when I was growing up, but I feel like there's a big distinction there. I don't think that we have to, as gamers, have to be supported by another market to survive. And so I really wanted to make sure that we stayed true to the gaming and kind of geek lifestyle and who we are and who we represent. And so, yeah, that store is just my vision and what I see and the things that we love. And so you'll find Fraggle Rock, you'll find, you know, things like that, that kind of touch on me and Charlie's childhood, our cartoon era, you know, our imagination. We use that. Those are the things that really broadened our imagination and really sparked our imagination when we were children to live out make-believe when we were children. And we kind of give homage to that by bringing it into the store and making it available. So Jim Henson, you know, all that kind of stuff is there. So
yeah, it's really cool. Having never tried to buy inventory for a store before, like...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot to answer that part of your question. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay.
So it started out and I brought it in to really attract veteran gamers, people that had been in the gaming industry, maybe a while, been buying product, had been playing games. And I pivoted a little bit. So to answer the question about, you know, the original stock compared to what it is now, we broadened those horizons out based off of a few things. We knew that we needed to be fluid, right? I can choose product, but the customers need to speak for what needs to be brought in. I can't just pick the things that I like to bring in, but it's a good place to start. And it was a starting spot. And since then, we've broadened our product line to include things that were a part of the original mission statement, I guess, for the store, the shop, and that was to be inclusive. And that inclusivity didn't just speak to what you'd expect on the conversation these days, but also include individuals that had never gamed before, or maybe had a predisposed stigma about some of the games that were in the shop. And so we really needed to be open and stay open about that. So we've brought in more mainstream, more popular board games, but the idea is that we've always wanted to stay inclusive to everyone, including the quality of time, face-to-face time, because at the time of business planning, we knew that families were really struggling with the stress of not spending a whole lot of time with each other because they were so glued to their electronics. So I know that we're kind of going beyond that, but it ties so much into that mission statement and that inclusivity, because we have to now reach a different demographic of people that are uncomfortable with the industry. So,
yeah, makes sense. And I imagine that the fact that you opened like only a year into COVID played a big factor into things as well.
So by trade, I have background in facility management. And so I was no stranger to COVID and what policies needed to kind of play out in the store. So during that time, it wasn't difficult. We knew what needed to happen. Charlie's experience with running a retail store into COVID, she knew what needed to happen. And so for us, I guess our work experience really played a huge part in that. And it didn't really take up any bit of our worry or conversation, because we knew that, I guess, there would be some sort of normalcy there. And people will continue to have a routine, have that ability to get out. And it was just temporary. So
I say, knowing a little bit more about like the background you guys both brought into it, I'm like, oh, that sounds like such a perfect like partnership to get the store going.
Yeah. And the first couple months, and kind of going back to part of a question that I didn't answer that you had asked, those first few months, it was finding a place to lease. And then once we had found it, jumping in and actually starting to build it out, right? So now we have to find distributors. This kind of goes into the inventory, and that ranged from large distributors down to self-distributed product. Then we had to physically build it out. So I and my sister worked hard from the painting. You saw some of the paint that was going on into the store. We have some murals and things that were in there, which we reached out to a personal contact of Charlie's that was an artist that was able to really bring some visions to life and make it fun in the store, to actually screwing on the boards and, you know, the shelving and all that kind of stuff. So we got our hands dirty. We were a part of that entire process. We put blood, sweat, and tears into starting it. Like I said, I mean, you wouldn't want to start it in with any less financial capital, because we did it bare bones. We really did. And it was through that whole process that family was contributing and hanging graphics. You know, it was the entire process. It was pretty amazing. Amazing memories as well to be able to be that hands-on and know that you know every inch of that space and what's going on with it. So
that is really special, like especially that you're able to get someone local to like paint those murals, and that family got to be involved because they're close by. Like, that's always really cool. So what point did you grow the team beyond you and Charlie?
My wife had always been there supporting me, supporting what I was doing. And so she has marketing and sales background. So for her, she always give insight into the business and things that we should do and how to participate in community. And so she was always there. And so bringing her into the business and giving her FaceTime with customers was a no-brainer, because she had been there from the start. Mm-hmm. She knows what went into it. And then growing the business into including my sister-in-law as a sales associate was also a no-brainer, because at the stage in the game, it's still very much a small business. And I don't know if you can get much smaller. I'm going to keep highlighting those things, because every ounce of community support makes an impact to the business. And you might not see that necessarily be the case with corporate. And so bringing her into the picture, it was somebody that we could trust, that was reliable, that we could bring in, because we're still working out a lot of the kinks. You know, we know how to run retail and we know how to provide support to the store. We know these things because of experience, but also the business plan. But we also need to know that we have people that will go the extra mile, right, without having to ask, because it's still in that crucial stage. And when you have family that works for you, they know what you've done and what you've put into it to get there. And they're they're there to support you no matter what, and you know that you can trust and rely on them. And that might not necessarily be the case with someone that you hire that's not family, that might have a little bit more of a rigid understanding of a work environment. I should say I come from union, so I completely understand both sides of that story. Very much black and white, right? Like, job descriptions play a huge role in that. Actual hours set to clock in, clock out, or show up. Okay, my shift's over, I'm going home. It doesn't matter if things need to get done. This is when I was scheduled. So we need to have that kind of flexibility. And me as a business owner, I think that it was a good wake-up call. It was a good wake-up call to see both sides of the industry, right? From labor to owning and running something, and how important it is for us to, I think, take accountability, but also take some ownership into our careers, our passions, or, you know, whatever it is that you do, and be a part of the success of a business. So again, going back, I know that that family member would be there for that success regardless. They see something, they know it needs to get done, they do it without question. And they have that intent there, that caring intent, because they know how important it is. With the culture these days, just popular culture, and that opportunity, that chance for something to go awry in a customer experience, that could be it. You know, there's so much at stake. So it's hard to, I guess, also put trust in people that aren't your family, that know what you've put into something. So sorry to kind of go on a tangent there, but
no.
I think that it's an important call out to that question.
No, absolutely. You know, I didn't realize that it was family, but like, it is a really interesting thing to go from being like, okay, the employee, and like, this is like, okay, like, I understand the mission, but at the end of the day, like, I just need a paycheck, and like, mm-hmm. this is what I was hired to do, and like, okay, and then moving on to like, okay, no, like, this is my dream, gotta make it work, doesn't really matter how many hours in the day there are, like, I still have to like figure this out. And
yeah, yep,
like, it's a hard thing to balance.
I haven't figured it out yet. Have not. I'm not going to lie. I am constantly working and talking and taking phone calls and putting in orders throughout the day and night. Marketing, like, it's all there. Like, when you create a business, all those positions that you think exist are there, and you have to take care of them, right? Those responsibilities, regardless how big or small, you have to put some sort of time or effort into them.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yes, I am marketing and sales and facilities,
HR and payroll, and yeah, janitorial. It's all there. Yep.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
It's a lot of work. But I mean, as long as it's something that you find worth it, then, you know.
Those moments where you see individuals come in, whether they're 7 years old, 10 years old, 27, 57, and they stop and they get a big smile on their face, and they're like, they feel a sense of belonging, because so many of us might have parents that don't understand us, siblings that don't understand us, loved ones that are like, really, you like this stuff? Or they don't understand that world, kind of that geek kind of world, and they know that they're not going to be made fun of there. They know that they are included there, but those moments that you just see it in their eyes, or they vocalize it, like, that moment is everything. Because when I experience those moments, the stress comes off my shoulders. Like, I'm able to let it all go. All the stuff that's bothering me about the business just vanishes. And I'm like, That's why I do it. Because that feeling that I had when I was younger, I can share with somebody else. And it's just something special.
Yeah. It is always really, really cool to just see like, okay, you know what? It's hard, but like I'm making a difference in someone's life, especially when you can get them young.
Yeah.
Hey, entrepreneurs. I love introducing you to new creators every episode, but I could really use your support. I would love to invite you to join our Patreon page, where you'll gain access to behind-the-scenes content, add your questions to upcoming interviews, and you could even receive a shout-out on our site in an upcoming episode. To learn more, go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. And now, back to the show. So is there anything about this journey that you'd say has been like really surprising that you just did not expect to run into?
Not yet. I think the weight of it might be the thing that's hard to anticipate. The weight of work, the weight of stress, the weight of risk and fear and apprehension and all those crazy, chaotic emotions that you have to deal with. That's probably the thing that you just have to experience and grow into, because I don't know if anybody's ready for it, especially if you have other responsibilities that are on your shoulders. So I have a family of five, or me included, right? So I got four individuals that rely on me to financially support them and to care for them. And when you start a business and you front that capital, like that's taking a really huge risk. And that stress is something you have to learn to manage. And it's probably the one thing that's been the most difficult. As far as the other business aspects go, none of it is an issue or is held in comparison to that.
I know, I can see that. That's a lot of responsibility. Well, I would love to pivot a little bit and talk about some of the events that you guys host at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even just like looking at the calendar for like right now. Like I know you've got things with like X-Wing, so I see Paizo, is that like Pathfinder, Starfinder, both?
Yeah. You know, both of them, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just I'd love to get into like what the normal kind of events you guys do are and if there's like any special ones that happen like at a more rare occasion.
So the calendar that you see up on the website is the regular occurring organized play events. Those are things on the calendar that are a sure bet, unless there was something that happened with a volunteer game master where they have to step away for an emergency. You can count on every week. The other events, you probably won't find it on the website, but more our Discord channel, which we keep up on those events and those details a lot better, because it's just a much easier platform to communicate that information. And those DMs or those game masters can talk to the players directly, give them details, and provide additional time and events specifics. Items that we do that are kind of non-regularly are game demos. Those just get put up that are kind of more sporadic. And also, we've held some championship events for some organized play, and we're hoping that we can expand that in the future. But a lot of it is just trying to fill those time slots with organized play as much as we can, so players know that they can come down and rely on something to happen.
How did you find all of like the game masters and the judges?
So the game masters and judges, so a big part of the business is just connecting with people and creating a community. And when you start to do that, you start to find people that are very passionate about their games that they love. And it's a conversation that we have with a lot of people, and we try to find the right fit. Currently, a lot of our game master volunteers are individuals that have respectable positions or trustable positions within the community. So teachers and counselors and whatnot. And there's some individuals that aren't, but that's kind of where it started from. We were lucky enough to find those individuals and have conversations and build respect and rapport with them. And they have put their time and effort into building that community, because that's what we and what they value. And so it really takes takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of people's passions to move these kinds of things along. So I can't thank them enough for what they've done to help build this business. We do what we can for them. We tend to kind of give them some freebies that we get through the gaming industry and give them discounts in the store to incentivize them. And they've really pulled through. So there's just little things that we can do to kind of make their life a little bit easier. So as far as like delivering those, and obviously in the future, we'd love to expand on that and provide financial compensation. But I think getting there is the key. And once you know, individuals put that time in and we can do that, it's going to be great.
I do really like though that you have a Discord server set up and that like the DMs are able to chat with the players like in between. And I just feel like that would make the time in store feel like it was just a lot more fun. Like you get to jump right into the game.
Yeah, whether it's asking questions about like character sheets or where the game's going or what the new rules are or whatever that is, we don't have to directly communicate that to players, play telephone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We can allow them to, communicate directly. And it's a better way to facilitate that communication rather than trying to take that on because there's so much there. So Discord's been a huge, huge help.
What about when you have people show up at the store like, I heard there was like an Adventurers League tonight and like I wanted to try D&D for the first time?
That's a great question. We let them know how to sign up. So we used to just do drop-ins. Tables started filling up and then there wasn't space available. So to kind of avoid that, we've tried to get people to sign up through Paizo locally. They use a website called Warhorn. And it's essentially an event planner. And that way you can do signups and you can reserve your seat, so to speak. And we found that that's been a big help in making sure that people can reserve a spot to play. Some other games will use Magic the Gathering, for example. Through their organization or their business, they've created, an app for players to use to be able to do that, essentially that same thing. But there's so many games that don't have that kind of support. So that's why we turned to something that was already being utilized by another business that we had access to that we could post other games with. And that's currently how we function to make sure that people have a chance to sit down and play by reserving a space and not be turned away. So still work in progress, but that's kind of where we're at the moment. And it's been working all right.
So I know you mentioned earlier that I think your wife is the one that was helping with the marketing. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we all do a piece of the marketing. So Charlie, myself, and Kimberly all do a piece of the marketing. Charlie and I both do most of the social media postings and things like that. My wife helps out with kind of like the broader sense of like she organized our participation in the gig parade that happened last year. And so, so getting that exposure out to the community and just kind of getting us some public exposure in that way was all her kind of doing, jumping out there and saying, hey, this is something we need to do. And it's like, all right, let's make it happen.
Well, yeah. So I was like kind of curious on what types of things she suggests and like with getting your name out there beyond like the normal social media posts.
Yeah. So kind of touching on that a little bit, she's been a big proponent in making sure that we kind of have, I think, more traditional or localized ways that we do outreach. So her background in sales stems from like hospitality and some event rental spaces and things like that. And so she knows how to connect with more of the traditional means of like Chamber of Commerce, those business networks. And I find it kind of difficult myself to kind of find creative ways to market because I think I'm stuck in the past. And I think a lot of other people are too, but the radio spots, the newspaper ads, the television spots aren't really reachable or obtainable goals by us because those costs a fortune. And so for me, some of my graphic design and things like that I've schooled for, I'm able to kind of utilize and apply in a very sensible way. And I know that it's starting to become a very limited demographic, or my age group that uses Facebook and uses Instagram. And so reaching, I think, a younger crowd is posing difficult, but we're finding that through school events now. Charlie just attended a STEM night where we tabled that event and got some exposure there. So when it comes to building a game shop, and I'm going to go on another tangent here, to be successful, it's important to build community, because you're otherwise just another retailer. You're just another box store that's selling a product. And that's not us, because we care about the impact that we're making. We care about the games that we have. And because of that effort, we know that that community is important to engage, and we have to get creative on how we engage that community. So Kimberly, being in a marketing background, I guess, that she just gives us another perspective on methods to reach out. Still been difficult regardless, but it's happening.
Honestly, I feel that, just like being millennial and not being like a young person anymore. I'm like, oh God, what? TikTok? I don't want to get on TikTok. That's so much work.
Yeah, we used to give our parents a hard time for not knowing how to use a VCR or something like that. Right. And it's just full circle.
Yeah, I know. Like, the way that technology has changed in our lifetimes is both impressive and just a little annoying.
Yeah, yeah, it's moving definitely a lot faster. I kind of, some things that I enjoyed doing when I was in high school and stuff, I just build a computer and program it. And like, it's crazy. Programming has just, like, I used to be able to code HTML and some other things. And like, what's being used now, like JavaScript had just really started playing a bigger role. And even that's, you know, dinosaur now, you know. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't really work that way. So I'm very much behind the times, but, that's okay. We'll find ways to reach people.
No, seriously, like, I think I learned HTML on Neopets. Made some like really killer pages for my pets. It was great.
Yeah.
And now I guess I could just tell a computer to make me a website and it'll just code it all for me.
Drag and drop has been huge, right? True. So I think that that's awesome, coming from the days where drag and drop wasn't a thing.
Well, Andrew, is there anything like coming up, like any like special events or anything that you'd like to promote, or just something that we haven't talked about that you wanted to take some time to chat?
We continue to expand that gaming community, expand that support, expand that returning customers, but also see in the near future a potential for expansion. So we're engaging our customer base on Discord with some questions about what that looks like, as just a little insight. We're stepping in and playing around with a new business plan on what that looks like for the future of Lost Star and how to better support our community and build out something in a more grander scale. And I think more of where you start to expect to see game shops. So I can't promise anything. I can't promise anything, but it'll definitely include some other avenues of allowing you to game and be more comfortable. So that's space, that's food and drink, that's areas in which we'll have a place for people to recreate and play their favorite games with each other.
I mean, it does tend to like help when there's food and drink there.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been able to do all right. We allow, you know, people to bring food in, and whether that's home baked goods or whatever that is, to support the, the long stays and gaming, but also the snacks and stuff like that. But we know that that's not a long-term supported kind of business plan. So it's, we're taking it in steps and strides and building this thing, I guess you would say organically. And we know once we have that really strong foundation that no matter what, we'll be successful. And we've also kind of put that to the test during choosing to open a business during COVID. So it gives us a lot of confidence as business owners to like step forward and expand.
Super exciting. Would you have like a secondary location or just move to a larger location?
It's yet to be
decided. That's true. You did say that you're chatting with your community.
Yeah.
Getting very excited. I mean, I already like your store, but like the idea of like expanding and like being able to bring in this other cool stuff is like board game cafes are kind of always where I've like spent, I don't know if it's too much time, but a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'll definitely be keeping an eye out to see how that evolves over time.
Fantastic.
Well, at this point, Andrew, I think we're going to wrap up this portion. So if people want to find you guys online or find your store, where should they go?
Yeah, so they can visit us at loststargaming.com. They can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Lost Star Gaming with a punctuation somewhere between Lost and Gaming, depending on what platform. And then you can also find us on Discord, where you're going to get all the really the meat and potatoes and then some, the icing on the cake. You're going to be able to talk with other players. You're going to be able to talk with your game masters. You're going to be able to find the events that are going on, how to sign up for those. And then also just have fun with the community where we have so many different channels available, from talking about your favorite movies and comic books, music, whatever it is. It allows you to stay connected in so many more ways than just the store itself. The store is really just the hub that kind of brings us all together and allows us to have a community. So I really highly recommend jumping on there. I know that a lot of us sometimes have a hard time finding kind of like that next social place. And so whether it's after school, you know, after you graduate from high school or college, to maybe you're in those spaces and you just don't have individuals with the same interests, or maybe you go to work and you might not have individuals of the same interests, you can find that with us. And it's a really great place to help build that local community. So
okay, well, you just sold me on it, because I'm like, oh man, moved to Seattle area not too long ago, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have friends here.
Hey, even if you don't live directly like close proximity to Gig Harbor, you're more than welcome to chat with us and hang out. And whenever you get a chance to come down and play, come on down.
That'd be great.
Share your favorite memes or whatever you'd like to do.
Amazing. Okay, well, at this point, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up. So thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us today. What I get to do now is start a new recording where we are going to do a special little thing for patrons called a quick question blitz, where I'm going to ask Andrew a bunch of silly questions, like, what's your favorite condiment? And it'll be special just for patrons. If you want to listen to that and all of the other blitzes that I've got, you can find me on Patreon at Roleplay Grow. All right. Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on. This has been really fun.
It's been fantastic talking with you. Thank you.
You just finished another episode of Role, Play, Grow. To check out the show notes and transcript from today's episode, you can go to lightheartadventures.com/RPG. To keep up with every episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice. And if you're enjoying the show, I would absolutely love if you would leave me a review and share this episode with your friends. Your review might even get featured on an upcoming episode. To follow me on Twitter, you can either find me at LightheartADV for our business account, or at KetraRPG for tweets on gaming, my dog Bowser, and other random shenanigans. You can also find me on Patreon at Role Play Grow. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time on Role, Play, Grow.